Well, once again, it's lovely to be with you. Just going to take this jacket off. It's warming up a bit. Well, you've been looking at the stories that Jesus told, the parables, and this morning we're looking at the widow and the judge, the passage that was read to us from Luke chapter 18. It's a parable which has puzzled some people. Is it saying that God is like the unjust judge? Is it saying that we have to keep pestering God if we want to have answers to our prayers? And the answer to these questions is a definite no. The whole point is that God is the very opposite of the unjust judge. God is loving and caring and eager to help us. But this raises a further question. If God is loving and caring and wants to answer our prayers, how is it that so many of our prayers are unanswered? How is it that there is so much suffering and injustice in the world? How is it that there's so much suffering and injustice in our lives? How does this stack up against the parable, which teaches that God is not like the unjust judge? He does care, and we should keep praying. The answer to this problem is to see the parable in its context. Now, it's Luke chapter 18, and of course, when the Bible was originally written, it wasn't written in chapters and verses, and sometimes we forget that. But if we go back to the previous chapter, chapter 17, we find there that Jesus is talking about the last days and about his second coming. He says there would be a period during which he would be absent. Chapter 17, verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running after them." Now, this period of history which Jesus described is the period that we are living in. Jesus is not here on earth in the way he was 2,000 years ago, but he will return. And so verse 24 of chapter 17, "The Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other." In other words, no one will be able to miss it when Jesus comes again. Coming back to this period of time in which we are living, which Jesus predicted, he gave us two illustrations of what life would be like. It would be like the days of Noah, and it would be like the days of Lot. And about these times, Jesus said, people were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage. And again, people were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. Now, I can imagine you saying, what's wrong with that? And of course, the simple answer is nothing at all. You see, the thing which Jesus picked out to describe that period, a feature of those times, was not its excessive wickedness, although that was a feature. What Jesus points out is a total lack of concern. He said it will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, people will not be ready. They'll not be aware. Everything will seem to be going on quite as normal, and they'll be oblivious to the danger that they're living in. But Jesus assured us that God's judgment will come. And when Jesus comes again, it will be a time of judgment for the world. a day of reckoning. And that's the context of this parable if we move on into chapter 18. Here's how it begins in verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And the key word there is then. In other words, it's a continuation of what Jesus has already been saying. And this is how it ends in verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So this is a parable about prayer. It's a parable about prayer for justice, but it's set firmly in the future, in the context of the judgment that will come at the end of the age when Jesus returns. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, if everything was sweetness and light, there would be no danger of us giving up. Why is it that we might be tempted to give up? It's simply because there are problems. There is suffering. There is injustice. And it looks as if God doesn't care, that prayer doesn't work. But Jesus says, in spite of that, keep praying and don't give up. Two things then. You should always pray. And secondly, you should not give up. And so to illustrate this, Jesus told this story about a woman. And that part of it is important. In that society, she was a second-class citizen. She didn't have the full legal rights that a man would have. And it would be all too easy for a man in authority to shrug her off simply because she was a woman. Not only that, she was a widow. There was no husband to stick up for her and fight her corner. And she had an enemy. She had suffered some injustice from this nasty person. But although she was desperately vulnerable, she was determined that she would go and get her case heard, and she would get justice for herself. The man who was responsible for hearing her case and administering justice is described in a very telling phrase, the unjust judge. Very literally, the judge of injustice. The man himself was the antithesis of everything that he was supposed to represent. In his personal character, he was the opposite of what he should have been. In his own words, he didn't fear God. Now, we live in a society which, on the whole, also doesn't fear God. And what's the result of that? Well, if we think back to a time when, on the whole, people did fear God, there was an awareness that if you lived a totally selfish and sinful life, you would have to answer for it to the Almighty. When the judge passed the death sentence in those days, he would utter the words, "May God have mercy on your mortal soul." And it meant something. It may not have eradicated evil, but it was a strong deterrent. Without that fear of God in our society, the deterrent has gone. If there's just one life and it's all you've got, then there's no reason to be anything other than completely selfish. Look after number one. Do others before they get the chance to do you. Make the most of your short time on earth, because that's all you're going to get, and after that, nothing. That's the logical result of not fearing God. But of course, even among those who don't believe in God and have no thought of life after death. There is another motive for seeking to do the right thing. It's the golden rule, which is not an exclusively Christian rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Even in secular humanist thinking, there's an innate respect for other people. You respect their rights. You respect their feelings. However, coming back to the unjust judge in our story, he didn't even have this constraint. In his own words, he didn't fear God and he didn't care about other people. The only person he cared about was himself, and the only thing he cared about was his own comfort and happiness. He had to earn a living, of course, and he did so by working as a judge. He dealt with fairly simple, straightforward cases, and many of the people he had to deal with were ordinary folk. And so there was this one plaintiff who came to him with a problem so trifling that he didn't think it was even worth bothering about. It was just a widow woman, and he didn't particularly like her. So he turned her away. But the next day, she was back. And the next day, and the next, and the next. She just kept coming back and pleading her case. And every time he looked round, blow me, there she was. He hated her. She was an absolute pain. And he was determined that she would not wear him down. But wear him down she did. Until he was so fed up, he did hear her case and sorted out her problem and gave her justice. His only motive was to get rid of her. She was making his life a misery. Now Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. God is not like that judge. He is full of justice and righteousness. The relationship of believers to God is not like that of the widow and the judge, because God has chosen us, and he loves us, and he hears us when we cry to him, and he cares. So how does the parable end? What's the punchline? It's probably not what you expect. It starts with a however. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, there's something absolutely certain here. The Son of Man, that is Jesus, will come back. Jesus is coming again, not in humiliation, but in glory. Not to die on a cross, but to reign on a throne. Not to suffer human injustice, but to bring in God's perfect justice. That is a certainty when the Son of Man comes, not if. But there is something here that is not so certain. Will he find faith on the earth? What about us? Will we still believe in spite of the suffering, the violence, the injustice that we see around us? Will we keep praying? Will we keep believing? Will we have the faith and courage not to give up, but to go on? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The big issue, according to Jesus, is not whether God is just, but whether we have faith. Before Christ returns, his followers may be like that poor widow, suffering injustice, persecution, and hardship. They will find themselves crying out to God night and day for justice, and it may seem that there is no answer. Corruption in government, greed in business, exploitation of the poor and vulnerable, the whole catalogue of evil from beginning to end. Where is God in all this? Why doesn't he do something? Why doesn't he stop the rot? It's a real test of faith. This parable is not offering us easy answers or a quick fix. It's pointing us forward to a day in the future when Jesus returns and everything that has been wrong will be put right. God is passionate about justice, and right will be done. And Jesus said, and quickly. But God's timescale is different from ours. In the second letter of Peter, he reminds us that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. In other words, people won't be ready. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And he goes on, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. The ultimate end of the world in this age doesn't lie in the hands of Donald Trump or the North Koreans or the Chinese or anyone else. It's in the control of God. And it will come when Jesus returns. But for those who know and love the Lord, there is the promise of new heavens and new earth, the home of righteousness. Meantime, amidst the troubles of the world, we may be tempted to take the law into our own hands and execute our own form of justice. But the Bible is clear that we must not. If it is possible, Paul writes to the Romans, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to repay, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. kind of faith that Jesus is talking about in the parable that we're looking at is the kind of faith which the prophet Habakkuk had. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Jesus is coming back.
Amen to that.
And until then, we have to wait. But Jesus says, keep praying. Keep believing. Don't give up. God is justice. God will give and produce justice. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We remember that the Apostle Paul prayed three times earnestly that the thorn in the flesh would be taken away. And his prayer was only answered with the words, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Help us, Lord, in our weakness. Help us in the questions that seem to find no answer. Help us in this time of waiting for your return and your justice to be performed. Help us, Lord, to keep believing. Help us, Lord, to keep praying, to keep trusting, and not to give up. We pray for people for whom these days of difficulty and suffering are particularly hard. Grant them, Lord, that grace and strength which you alone can give, that your strength may be made perfect in their weakness, in our weakness. And these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.